For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in. And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
That aqueduct for a minute there. We're on the air.
Yeah. My text tone on my phone is the call to post. My wife calls me the ultimate degenerate.
So does your co-host after that. It's 6 a.m. I'm hearing the horns go.
Yeah, you're like, did you hear that? I'm like, what? He's like, call to post.
I thought Pilates was doing something.
So the horse is rolling into the gate? What are we doing, drops during the Iron Eagle Westwood 1 call? They go, what are you? Oh, it's my phone.
Oh, man. It must be Friday. Yeah.
Yes, it is a Friday. Welcome aboard. It's Taz and the Moose for the next 3 hours with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike and Pete across the way. We've got Brett Heller with your updates. Bogish is off here, so he's got double duty throughout the course of the morning. Taz and myself with you for the next 3 hours. We've got college picks. We've got NFL picks. Taz, good morning, brother. How are you?
All right. Well, yeah, so-so. I have to be honest with you. You know, I was in a newsroom, and I was talking to him and about the game last night, the fight. But I'm in the newsroom earlier, and you know, I got to be honest. You know, if you haven't noticed, I kind of keep myself, well, a little bit unsociable. A little bit. I don't know.
I stay to myself in
the corner.
I think we've established that over the last 2 years.
For any new listeners.
Oh, okay. For anybody. Right. Taz puts the hat, you know, he's got his hat on, knit hat. During the summertime, it's his baseball cap. He wants to be left alone. Sometimes he's wearing the headphones. He's listening to some very, very hard music.
Probably Limp
Bizkit. To get himself going. Yeah. Right.
But yet, today, everybody that works in this place has to come over and say something to me.
Good for you. That's great.
Leave me alone.
All right.
I can't send the message any better. I don't want to be bothered by any of you.
All right.
Well, not just people on the show. Everybody.
Maybe you could go into the production studio. I know I asked you a question about the show. You're like, what? I'm like, all right, Taz, good morning.
Well, you're the only one I don't mind because we have to be on the air together.
I didn't get that sense, Ed, when I asked you the question I asked you.
You want me to go to the production room?
No.
It's a 4x3 room. You want me to sit in the closet?
No, not that room. Oh. I'm talking about going to, you know, Zach's room.
They'll find me, dude.
Go into Paul R. Zuman's room, the production room that, you know, sometimes you see Randy Cross doing a show from.
Randy Cross is here?
No. Oh. On the odd occasion, sometimes you'll be walking by, you're like, hey, there's Randy Cross, Super Bowl champion.
I just don't want to be bothered. That's all. Just leave me alone.
I'm sorry they bothered you, everyone. Yeah.
You, I don't mind a little bit because we have to talk on the radio.
Thank you, Taz.
For 3 hours,
I appreciate that. I feel the love. Really. Very warmth embrace.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get into. Yeah. I'm sorry you got off to a bad day. We'll try and rectify that now. Taz, we got a lot to get into here on our program. And we've got some college NFL picks a little bit later on. And we'll touch upon the Thursday night game that went to the Browns' way 21-7. But I mean, really, it's not a matter of Cleveland turning their season around or Kitchens or what Mayfield did or the fact of the injuries that were beset to the Steelers with Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster or the ineffectiveness of Mason Rudolph at the quarterback spot. Really, everybody what's talking about coming out of that game is what transpired between Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph and throwing Pouncey and some other Steelers offensive linemen as well late in that game. as there was an altercation. An altercation that resulted in Myles Garrett ripping the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and then striking him in the head with it on the top of his head. Luckily, I mean, it was the bottom part of the helmet. Oh, it was not
thank God.
Yeah, thank God, because he would have cut him wide open if he hit him with any other part of the helmet. But luckily, it was that part of the helmet. Garrett was obviously ejected from the game. DeCastro and Pouncey. Pouncey went old school with him. Bar stools, you know, basically not like a bar fight to the ground. And then he was throwing haymakers in Myles Garrett's way. Garrett's been a guy that's, you know, and I've defended Myles Garrett in the past. There's no defending on what transpired last night. It's an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment. I don't know. I don't think he should play the rest of the NFL regular season. There's no way that I want to see Myles Garrett in a Cleveland Brown uniform. There's no place in the National Football League for what transpired last night. And you've got to be heavy-handed with the suspension.
You got to be. No, I agree. I believe in, you know, players. I understand the violence of the game, and I'm all about the intensity of the game. I don't mind players getting into fights. When you use a helmet as a weapon like this, this thing could have ended much worse. I mean, and thank God it didn't, because you said it. Like, if that helmet, the top, the crown of that helmet would have hit the top, the crown of Rudolph's head, with the power and aggressiveness, just the pure big size and speed of that rotation of that helmet coming down from Garrett's powerful body, that could have been, Mason Rudolph could be in serious medical condition right now. Not just concussed, like worse. So that didn't happen, which is great. I know everybody's going crazy about it, and I think you're right. He should be suspended for the rest of the season. Whatever they fine him is probably not enough. It's disgusting what happened. As far as Pouncey, I got to be honest with you. I have zero problem with Pouncey did.
I don't have any issue.
Yeah. But, by the way, man knows, he knows how to throw hands, by the way. I'll just let you know. He knows how to fight. Yeah. Some of these guys don't know how to fight when you watch them. That guy knows how to fight. and you got to protect your teammate, and especially your quarterback. It don't matter. You got to protect your teammate. Because you break the code when you do that. When you take the helmet's a weapon, and now you take it off and you use it literally as a weapon, you know, like you're hitting somebody with a baseball bat. You know, now you take the code of the athlete, the code of the football player, and you flush it in the ball. That's what he did.
Don't disagree. Yeah. I mean, I have no issue with what, you know, any Steeler player did in defense of Mason Rudolph. Whether it be Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva, I have no issue with anybody. Honestly, they're coming there in defense of the quarterback at that stage. Their leader, the guy that stepped in there. You know, even in a loss, they're coming to the defense of their teammate. And Garrett's actions, they have to be heavy-handed, because Garrett has taken on this tone and tenor. Put his act, you know, if you just look at the way that he conducts himself on the field, Taz, we've discussed it before. He plays with an edge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes he steps over that edge in terms of when he hits a quarterback, maybe it's a step and a half too late. Maybe it's a step too late. Myles Garrett always walks on that edge. And that's fine as a player.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
And that's fine as a player. But when you do that, and then this transpires, and you're already one of those guys that walk the edge in terms of the rules of the National Football League, there's no benefit of the doubt. There's no defense. There's no, hey, I'm a good guy. I just lost my. There's none of that. I mean, because you've already developed your reputation in the National Football League, and you look at what transpired on the field in Cleveland last night. If the National Football League is not heavy-handed, not just to him individually, but sending a message to everybody else in the NFL,
absolutely.
You know, then you're not getting your point across. There is no place. No place for what transpired on the field last night, for what Myles Garrett did. And that's really what the NFL, when they decide what the suspension is going to be, and, you know, it should be swift, it should be heavy-handed. I don't think you need to see him the rest of the regular season. That's the mantra, that's the feel and the vibe that they need to go into that meeting with.
Yeah, that'll be a major blow to the Browns, because they need him. He's a great player. He really is, but he's not handling himself the right way. Some of my favorite players of all time are defensive players and played with this over-the-top edge and played dirty sometimes. I'm a fan of guys like Jack Lambert, Ray Nitschke, Dick Butkus. You know, these guys were aggressive, over-the-top players. I could have sworn that many years ago, I remember seeing footage of it, that something happened with Jack Lambert from the Steelers, ironically enough, that I feel like he ripped somebody's helmet off. I don't know if he threw it at them. I think he might have thrown it at them. I don't know if it was Brian Sipe of the Cleveland Browns, ironically enough, because there's always been that heat with the Browns and the Steelers. But I don't know if it, I know you're
I don't remember that. I don't remember
but
that.
You know, Lambert. You wouldn't be shocked to hear if Lambert did something.
Oh, no, no. Well, yeah. Like,
in his prime, he was, you know.
Well, right. I mean, Taz, we talked about players in the 70s. Used to clothesline guys.
They were nasty stuff.
I mean, there were guys that stepped on the field where literally they had, like, casts on their arms.
And club guys.
And they would club guys. There was the old move in the National Football League that defensive linemen used to have is that to knock an offensive lineman off balance, they used to come with their right or left hand, depending on what side of the line they're on, and basically club the offensive lineman in the head
to knock him
off balance and maybe daze him a little bit as they were rushing to the quarterback. I mean, that move is obviously no longer allowed in the National Football League. But
it's not allowed anywhere.
Right, or anywhere. But Taz, for a long time, that was allowed in the National Football League. So, yeah, would it surprise me? No. I thought I remember a Raider at one point in time ripping a quarterback's helmet off and then throwing it to the ground.
You'll remember this. I think, know what I'm confusing? And when you said Raiders, Jets, Chris Ward, Lyle Alzado.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Offensive tackle, Chris Ward, Lyle Alzado, you know, defensive end. And I could have sworn that out. It was something, and Alzado ripped off Chris Ward's helmet and hit him with it or threw it at him.
Yeah, I thought he threw it at him. Yeah, I thought he threw it at him. But
our fight team is looking into this.
But, you know, that's then. You know,
I know, it was a long time ago.
No. I'm not saying that there wasn't. At one point in time, you know what? The National Football League was wild, like the Wild Wild West. That's no longer the case.
Correct. No,
and,
I know.
And also the other thing is, Taz, guys are bigger, faster, stronger.
Oh,
and
no, it's crazy.
You look at Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is a physical specimen.
He's a machine.
I mean, you're not looking at a guy that he doesn't really have much of an ounce of fat on him.
No.
It's looked like he's sculpted from a piece of granite.
He's a beast.
And you could say, well, Mason Rudolph tried to get his helmet or, you know, ripped at his helmet when they were on the ground together. And then that led to the reaction by Myles Garrett. That's nonsense.
Well, let me interrupt to play off that point. You heard about I don't know if you're alluding to this or not, about that Rudolph went to either hit Garrett in a low blow or grabbed him, like what we call in wrestling a 5-on-2. Do the math on that.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. So did you hear about that or not? Did you see that? Here, look, there's a picture of somebody on Twitter used to take a screenshot saying that he grabbed it. There's still no excuse. Before he was like he was going to grab his. It was before Garrett hit him with the helmet.
I didn't hear that. If you watch the video before that on the ground, Rudolph tries to grab at the back of Garrett's helmet before Garrett then rips off Rudolph's helmet and then hits him over the head with the helmet.
I see. I'll send this picture over to Mike's team.
Yeah. Well, no, there it looks like he's goosing him.
Right.
I mean, that's
5-on-2 Jones.
Right. Yeah. However way you want to describe it. There's one thing and then there's the other.
I'm not saying if Mason Rudolph's doing that,
you can't do that either.
No.
But I'm not saying you should be doing that, but I also don't think you should be doing what Myles Garrett did, too.
Garrett did a lot worse.
No
if
question.
That's
about.
True. You know what I mean? About Rudolph.
Yeah. Let's take a listen. Here's Freddie Kitchens, the Browns head coach, talking about what transpired at the end of the Thursday night game, which happened to be a 21-7 Browns victory. Take a listen.
We don't react like that no matter what. That's not an excuse for anything that Myles did at all. And we're not giving him an excuse. He doesn't want an excuse. So it doesn't matter what happened. I don't even care what happened. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. That can't happen. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. The biggest game that this team's won in a – never beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the same year since they've been in 1999. And then we've got to talk about this. So there's 52 other guys in that team, on the team, that hurt. And it's going to hurt moving forward. So we don't condone that. And it's not going to – Myles understands what he did wrong. All right?
Well, I hope so.
He's got to maintain his composure.
If not, he's a psychopath. Yeah.
Just like he had to do at the start of the year. He had to maintain his composure. We got 5 seconds in the game. I'm sorry, but it's kind of like, you know – he understands.
Well, I mean, I would hope you'd understand. I hope you know what's right and wrong. If you don't know what right and wrong is at this stage of your life as a football player, then God bless you. How about Mike Tomlin was asked about what transpired at the end of the game? Here's the Steelers HC.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
You got no comment about it?
That's exactly what I said. I got no comment.
Have you ever seen anything like that at the end of a game?
No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
Well, there you have it. I mean, so he would not comment. And obviously, he's got to be bothered, upset, angry about it. He kept his, and I mean, really, what does Mike Tomlin have to say? You know, is he going to go on a rant and a riff and tear apart Myles Garrett? We all saw it. I mean, basically, Twitter exploded. You had every player. I saw so many players tweeting about the Thursday night game for the first time in a long time, right? Yeah. And ex-players, current players reacting to what transpired on the field. Here's Mason Rudolph, the Steelers quarterback, talking about what happened at the end.
Pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes, I really haven't seen it, anything like that yet.
How do you feel?
I'm fine. I'm good. Good to go.
Got a hard head. He's real lucky. So when you triggered me,
he
when
does
you
have
said,
a hard head.
When you said Raiders, yes, for those wondering, I was correct. It was Chris Ward and Lyle Alzado, just to give myself a little credit. Yeah, here it is, Moose. Check this out. In 1982, divisional game, he, meaning Lyle Alzado, ripped off the helmet of starting Jets lineman Chris Ward and threw it at him, inspiring the rule barring such acts, possible fine. But nearly a decade later, Lyle Alzado is now even more. Unforgettable moment. So basically, the National Football League created what is known as the Alzado Rule. The removal of another player's helmet shall result in ejection and possible fine. But nearly a decade later, Lyle Alzado is now an even more. It's the same sentence I'm reading, obviously. So it's the Alzado Rule.
Alzado Rule about ripping it.
Why has no one mentioned that on TV, the Alzado Rule? Why have they not said anything about it?
I haven't watched a lot of the.
Reaction?
I've not. To be honest, I don't know if they haven't or have.
They will now.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
We said it.
Very nice.
That's how it usually goes.
You want to hear from Garrett? Here you go.
Okay.
Here he is trying to explain what transpired and the brawl hitting Mason Rudolph with his own helmet. Take a listen.
That is embarrassing. Now, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character. But
is it?
Situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
But what do you expect him to say? It's consistent with who I am. I mean, he's not, you know what I mean?
Well, but I'm just poking. No, I get it, Tess. I'm just poking fun. But I mean, you know, is it really? I mean, because Tess, there are some guys, even if you lose your cool on the field, that would never think about doing what Myles Garrett did.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
have
you been
in
the battles?
Yeah,
I mean, as a wrestler, Division II football
I've had
there?
It in football,
and,
too, yeah.
Yeah, so, but there are guys that would basically know, you know, I would never do that. I would never do what Myles Garrett did, right? You bring up Lyle Alzado, 1982. I'm not saying Myles Garrett's the only guy in the NFL that would do this, because we know there are other guys that are knuckleheads or can't control their... But there are plenty of guys that lose their cool on the field, whatever it might be, and they'd never think about doing what Garrett did. So, I mean, is it just him? I mean, is it just, I mean, how do you, in a game you're winning 21-7 at that stage, end of the game, how do you lose your emotions level where you decide to do that?
Right. No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. And the thing is, I do think it's a situation where, I'm not defending Myles Garrett, I do think it's a deal where these guys, especially linemen, they're hitting every play.
Yeah.
There's stuff happening every play. We don't know everything. I'm not making excuses for the guy.
I know you're not.
And there's things that are said. I've done it as a lineman. I've punched guys in the yam bag. I've been punched there. I've been hitting my throat. I put my finger in a guy's finger ear hole and tried to drive my middle finger into the guy's eardrum through his helmet. Like, I'm nowhere near was an NFL player. Just imagine. So I'm just saying that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But when you use the guy's helmet as a weapon and strike him in the head with it, that's really crossing the line.
Well, right. I mean,
you got to stay cool, man.
Right. You can't be doing that. And we want to hear from you. What do you think the NFL should do with Myles Garrett here following what transpired at the end of the Thursday night game, which is all the talk across the football and really sports landscape? A 21-7 Browns victory, but Myles Garrett hitting Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet, with Rudolph's helmet, I should say. Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Taz, Moose. on this Friday morning. It's a football Friday. We got college picks, NFL picks coming your way later on, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Moose, we're talking about the fight last night that ended the Steelers-Browns game, where the Browns are victorious, where Myles Garrett lost his cool, took the helmet of the quarterback, Mason Rudolph, of the Steelers, and hit him on top of the head. It was nasty, nasty. Let's go, where are we going? Erie, Pennsylvania. Talk to Ronnie listening on the radio here someplace. Ronnie, you're on with Taz the Moose. What's
Erie,
up?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys doing today? I love you guys. Start off, man, you guys make my morning every day. Last night was a debacle. That made me sick. I'm a lifelong Browns fan. I was born into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is terrible. Taz, I threw up, man. When I seen that, it made me sick. He should get six games. I love my Brownies. I do.
Right.
But he should get six games this year and four in the next. We don't need this.
I know you don't need it, but you're a big Brown fan, Ronnie. And without that guy on the field, that changes your defense. You know that, right?
Yes, man. I know. It's just terrible, man. We can't have that.
Right.
The league can't have that.
Roddy, you honestly, can I just have a question? You physically got ill?
I threw up. I really
did.
You
really did? You just saw this and like, oh my God.
Yes.
Wow. Really, man.
That kid, I feel bad for that kid. He could have killed that kid.
I know. It's
It's disgusting, Taz. I mean, you guys are awesome. That, man, I've been up all night.
All right.
And this makes me, I couldn't even sleep.
Well,
poor kid could have got killed.
I know.
You're not wrong, Ronnie, out there in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah, what's up? Say again?
Six games and four next year.
So you want a 10-game suspension?
10 games.
10 games, man. 10 games.
I'll be honest. I don't think you're that far off.
He might be right.
I don't think Ronnie there and Ronnie.
Ronnie, get some Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, get a little rest.
Ginger ale or something.
Well, I love my Brownies, but like I said, that's intolerable. Oh. You can't have that in the league. You cannot have that.
You're not wrong. You can't have that.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
And I knew he was from Erie. I said that, but I said listening somewhere because usually I like to shout out the radio station because I just guess where they're – I'm usually right where they're calling, like not the town.
The
radio
station. Yes.
I just guess.
Correct.
Oh, this guy, I think, is SiriusXM. This one I couldn't guess on his.
Right. There was no station
walking
next
around
to his
the
name.
Town.
Yeah. I just couldn't guess.
Yeah. Maybe it was listening on radio.com, as P was saying. Walking.
Well, that could be invisible.
Walking the town of beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, just walking around aimlessly.
As long as the signal works there.
Well, that's all that matters. But I don't think he's that far off with 10 games.
I think you might be right. Ronnie might be right.
I don't think a 10-game suspension is that far off.
Have you ever seen something in a sporting event? Because you're a historian, let's be honest. Have you ever seen something happen that's so vile and makes you so angry that you projectile vomit in your den?
No.
Like Ronnie did in Erie?
No, if I had a den, no.
If I had a den. What are you guys hanging out on the porch, the kitchen, and the bathroom? You have three rooms? What's going on?
No, I don't have a den.
You know what I mean? Like a living room.
No, I know. I'm joking around with you. No, there's been nothing. Now, I've gotten queasy, say, watching a UFC fight and seeing a guy, like, basically the life come out of him after he gets knocked out cold.
Oh, that don't bother me.
I understand that doesn't bother. I'm talking about myself. I understand that you're a guy that did that.
Yeah.
So I imagine that would not bother you. I mean, that could certainly, you know, you feel like, oh, my God, what just happened? But no, I've never physically gotten ill based on something I've seen from a sporting event. You?
No.
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 Yeah.
No. Well, the time I've been physically ill was either eating some rancid shrimp, drink too much vodka.
Yeah, well, those are, of course.
Or, at a bar eating too much, what are those fresh, like, pierogies?
Pierogies.
And then play wrestling with some of the guys in the bar, and I took a needle to the stomach. And then I threw up the pierogies.
Bilotti brought up one that was a good example. Clint Malarchuk. Do you remember that?
No.
Clint Malarchuk was a netminder for the Buffalo Sabres, I believe, who took a stick across the throat.
A skate across the throat.
And it cut him open and basically was bleeding profusely.
You vomited, Pete, watching this?
That was the closest I probably had.
That was, if you go back, and I don't even know if it's on YouTube, it's really tough to watch. That's disgusting, because you see him grabbing his throat and blood pouring out.
It slashed his jugular.
Yeah, right. Oh, it was awful. That was awful. That's a good one. I forgot about Clint.
You want to talk to Andrew Bogus? We'll get to the calls in a second. Bogus. People can hang on. Not Andrew Bogus. I made a mistake. It's my
Bob
friend Heller.
Fellow. Yeah, it's Brad Heller. What's
Bob
going on, Brad Heller?
What's
Brad,
going on,
Bob
guys?
Feller?
It's we're friends.
Well, of course.
It's just a reaction of that course. Other guys here all
well,
the time.
I'll ask Brad.
I'll
ask Brad, who steps in for Eddie C. during the course of the year and does a lot of Met coverage.
Oh, Eddie Coleman.
Yeah, Eddie Coleman, correct. Right, on CBS 880, the home of the Mets in New York. I will ask him. I'll throw the question out at UTAS and Bisseglie and Bilotti.
Are we competing right now?
No, it's not a competition. This is his question. Do you think the Met fan should be disappointed?
Oh, God.
What? He covers
when you were out of the studio, I got... Andrew, God, Heller and I had this discussion.
Heller. I left my name tag outside.
Listen, Brad.
Listen.
Not
come
the
in,
day to mess
come in, wear, okay. the, wear the sandwich board. Identifying yourself. Or walk around with basically your photo ID taped to your forehead. Brad.
I have a fat head outside that I'll bring in for next
week. Alonzo wins Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
DeGrom's second straight Cy Young.
Yeah.
Should the Met fan be disappointed the fact that they did not make it to October?
I mean, based on the fact that you got the best rookie and the best pitcher, the best home run hitter on your team, you probably, looking back, you probably should be upset.
Taz just gave me a wave of disgust.
It's aggravated right now because he brought this up to this guy.
He covers the team.
I know he does. He's a Met fan.
He does a great job. But, he covers the team. I was just asking his opinion.
But it's unfair.
And
because,
your educated opinion.
Because Heller did not know some of the stuff early in the week would happen because Heller's busy working on so many other shows.
Taz got on me for bringing that up. That I'm
passive-aggressive.
Arrogant Yankee fan.
Passive-aggressive. Yeah.
Right? He didn't like my emphasis when I talked about the world champion Washington Nationals.
And you just galvanized his point. You didn't mean to, Heller, but you did.
That's what I'm here for,
yeah,
I guess.
That's you. So he basically hooked you in, and I knew it the whole while. I'm like, oh, no. But unbeknownst to you, you didn't know what was said here because you're
taking
on...
advantage of me. I have not heard anything the previous week, so I walk in and you steer me in the direction.
He takes advantage of people all the time on the show.
That's he's steering me towards his propaganda. I'm not going to put up with
it. Yankee fan. What do you expect him to do? This is the deal.
Taz, you've taught me well.
It's good to be back, guys.
Take it away, Brad.
Yeah, Heller.
All right, this report sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Well, the Browns were seconds away from an impressive 21-7 win over the Steelers at home, but then things got ugly in Cleveland.
And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch, and Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in.
Ian Eagle on Westwood One. Myles Garrett ripped off quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet and then clubbed him with it.
That is embarrassing. You know, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't have allowed myself to slip like that. That's out of character, but... situation like that where, you know, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
Garrett obviously ejected. So was Marquise Pouncey, who went after Garrett and kicked him in retaliation. Browns defensive lineman Larry Ogunjobi was thrown out as well. As for the game itself, Baker Mayfield, 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. The Browns are 4-6. The Steelers' 4-game winning streak is over. They are 5-5. They also lost receivers Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson, both suffering concussions. NBA, Carmelo Anthony's one-year hiatus is over. He's reportedly getting a non-guaranteed contract with the Blazers. Paul George made his Clippers debut last night, coming off shoulder surgery. He scored 33 points, but the Clips lost to the Pelicans 131-127.
You know, it's just good to get this one under my belt. This was essentially like my first preseason game. So, you know, it's a lot to take from this and, you know, take it into the next game.
Elsewhere, Giannis had 38 points, 15 boards. Bucks beat the Bulls 124-115. The Knicks topped the Mavericks for the second time in a week, 106-103 in New York. Knicks fans just crushed Kristaps Porzingis in his return. It started in warm-ups. Porzingis ended up with 20 points. Luka Doncic had a 33-point triple-double in the loss. The Angels' Mike Trout winning his third MVP award in the last six seasons. Cody Bellinger wins the award in the NL. The first free agent to sign, reliever Will Smith. He gets a three-year, $40 million deal from the Braves. And college hoops, Michigan State surviving on the road at Seton Hall, 76-73. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Brad. Let's head back to the busy calls. Yes. Everyone wants to talk about the Garrett brawl last night.
Yes, let's go out to lovely Oakland, California. Talk to Antonio. Listen on 680 AM. Antonio, you're on with Taz and Moose on this Friday here. What's going on there?
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, I definitely wasn't about to vomit. You know, I was kind of keeping one eye on the game, and I don't like it, but I definitely think Miles is going to get six games. I don't know how the rest is going to do it, but I just want to. I don't know if you guys remember way, way back in the day, Turkey Joe, I think his name was Turkey Jones, Cleveland Brown D lineman, picked up Terry Bradshaw and dropped him on his head, man. And I think it's just a lifelong rivalry. Doesn't look like Garrett, because I did watch him on HBO a few years ago on Hard Knocks. He seemed like a nice character guy, but I guess, like you guys said, the heat of the moment, things happen, man. I'm thinking the rest of the season for sure that he'll be out.
Yeah,
and I think it puts both of those teams, it ends their season, both of them.
Right. Well, let me real quick though, Antonio, because I'm trying to remember that on that Hard Knocks. Because I remember what you told me about with Miles Garrett. He did seem like a real low key guy. Didn't they do like a little segment on him, like he was painting or into poetry or something?
Something like that. Yeah, it was. I don't know what if he got punched before the play or something. What got him going? But that was really. It was kind of woke me up a little bit, guys. I don't like to see violence, but
right.
We all love violence. I know everybody likes seeing. Fighting and guys punching and the NFL's been turned down so much, so I thought it kind of woke me up. Again, I wasn't going to vomit. That's definitely
yeah. Us either. We appreciate it, Antonio. Well, the deal too with the whole and he's right. I mean, and we know that Moose. We talk about a lot that rivalry with the Steelers and the. You know, the Browns been going on for a long time and stuff like that. And I was referencing Jack Lambert, and then coincidentally enough, there was a real late hit on the sideline. It was a big fight against Brian Sipe, the quarterback used to be for the Browns. There's been a bunch of issues with the Browns and Steelers. But I remember what he was talking about on Hard Knocks, because I remember watching that one on the Browns and with Miles Garrett. I don't know if you saw that episode. But
I did not.
He was like very like into art and painting and stuff like that. Low-key Jones, you know what I mean? Did you say the one guy's name who threw Bradshaw on his head was Turkey Jones? Is that the name I heard?
Yeah, that is the name. I just found the YouTube clip, which I can tweet out as well. He picks up Terry Bradshaw and just kind of backflips him over.
Well, you're using the word backflip. These are probably some sort of a wrestling move that being named wrong.
Probably.
Yeah. Is this tweeted out from the show account, Mike?
It was about to be, yes.
And begin. Go for it. You know what I mean? Right? Right, let's tweet it out, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's let
no
the
doubt.
Audience see it. Let's go out to Detroit, Motor City, that is.
What's up, Lou?
Lou, 1270 AM. How are you, Haas? What's up?
Hey, what's happening, my man?
What's up?
What's going on, Lou?
Nothing much. Listen, I think the league is going to come down extremely hard on Miles. And the one thing go back, we're talking about all these concussion protocols, how they're trying to prevent using the helmet as a weapon, and then you turn around and you rip a guy's helmet off, and you actually hit him.
Right.
This thing could have got really, really bad, because if he would have really nailed him with that helmet.
With the crown of the helmet, God forbid, on top of the head of Rudolph's head. You know what I mean? That's what you're saying.
This thing could have got really, really ugly.
Yeah.
You know, and God, like I said, God forbid that. But there's no place for this. The league has got to come down hard. I don't think six is going to be enough. I think he will get suspended for the rest of this year, and I think it's going to carry over into next year. I mean, guys are getting eight games for – you know,
leading with the helmet on a hit, like a D-back hitting a guy. You know what I mean? I know what you're saying. Leading with the helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, and listened to Miles, and one thing you never heard was an apology. You heard my teammates came to me, it's not called for, blah, blah, blah. But he never apologized, and I think that's going to take some toll as well. I think 10 games, I think the rest of this year, four next year, and a heavy fine.
Yeah, you know what, Lou? A caller mentioned the 10 games as well earlier on. You know, I don't think you're, you know, I don't think Taz and I myself think you're far off. I think he's definitely done for the rest of this year, and I could see the suspension leaking into next year as well. It's going to be a heavy fine. You mentioned in terms of him not being all that, not being apologetic after the game. You know, and throwing himself at the feet of the National Football League, and hoping for forgiveness. It was not all that heartfelt either. So I don't disagree with you. I mean, you know, everything that we've talked about here. I don't think there's going to be many people that come on our air this morning, Lou, and say, got no issue.
We appreciate
it,
Lou.
You know, no problem. A-okay. You know, it's part of football. He lost his emotions. I mean, right. You know, there's. I think everyone, whether you're Browns, a Steelers, a Redskin fan, a Bill fan, Patriot, whatever, you watch that last night, and there's just not a place for in the National Football League for that kind of behavior. There just isn't. And the NFL needs to send a message, and then not only to the rest of the league, but also to Garrett. Because you know, it cannot be a case where it's a tap on the wrist for him.
Right.
He's got to be able to control himself and have some, you know, to lose your emotions like that and to use the helmet as a weapon like that.
Yeah,
on a Thursday night game, no less, when the nation is watching, no less. There's no rationale or reasoning for it.
Or some people feel too, and I'm kind of on the fence. It could be considered a criminal act. I mean, think about that. That's like an assault, what he did. I mean, with a weapon, with a deadly weapon. I mean, I know it's the middle of a game, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not a soft guy, and I know you're not either, but I'm just saying with some people out there, I don't want to quote him, but I could have sworn I heard Damian Woody say something like that. The former lineman, offensive lineman from the Jets.
I don't think there's anything going to be that. Could you look at it like that? Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Taz, if you and I are walking down the street,
construction guy takes his helmet off
and drills me over the head of it, that's assault.
I know what I'm going to do if I'm with you and a guy does that to you? I'm going to run the other way.
Yeah, you're going to walk the other way. I know.
Run. I'm going to be terrified. Let's go out to the Bay Area and talk to Bill. Listen on 6:80 a.m.
Thanks for having my back.
Over there. You got it,
buddy.
What's up, Billy? What's up, buddy? How are you, man?
I'm good. I just wanted to comment on that thing, okay? Personally, there's no room for that in football. You're absolutely correct. They need to take a stand on it as soon as possible because you don't want to, quote, tarnish the shield. And I think it would be good to do it quick. I would basically suspend both the guy for Cleveland and the guy for Pittsburgh that was, I think his name was Pouncey.
I got to argue on that, bro. I wouldn't suspend Pouncey. I wouldn't. I mean, he's defending his teammate. That was a violent act, and I you could have your opinion. I got mine. I don't know where you are, Moussa. I don't think Pouncey should be suspended. I disagree with you.
I would not. Pouncey's there, you know, defending his teammate. I understand he threw punches and everything, and they might end up suspending Marcus Pouncey for doing what he did, you know, after Rudolph gets hit in the head with his own helmet. But I would not suspend Marcus Pouncey. I would not.
Can I make one quick point about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I got. I don't think everybody's looking at this at the right angle. Okay, I agree. Pouncey's was more of a retaliation for the teammate backing him up. I played sports. I understand that.
Right.
Bottom line, though, he had football cleats, football shoes. They have cleats. Okay, if he kicked the guy in the groin and possibly, God forbid, if he ruptured him or if he hurt him and it went in, you know, basically into that area and did some internal damage, payback, you can bleed to death, okay? The word rupture, I'm sure being men, you know what that means. You can actually die for being ruptured.
Right.
You know, I understand where you guys are coming from. You guys are the best in radio, and I respect what you say.
Thank you.
I'm just saying I would basically suspend the main guy, Garrett, for the rest of the season. I'd fine him about $250. Pouncey, I think I'd fine him $150 and fine the quarterback for the Steelers $150. And then I'd basically send a message to the rest of those guys that came on that field maybe with a $25,000 fine, and let's get this thing cleaned up, and let's don't ever have anything like that again.
Yeah, Bill, appreciate the call. Bill had his ducks in a row at a 6:45 Eastern time on a Friday morning. No,
he sounds like a lawyer.
But that was he did. I mean, but he had it basically laid out about what he would do. Yeah, this guy gets that fine. Everyone who left the bench,
fine everybody, bro.
Find it all, clean it all up. Bill right now is writing the writing this official statement from the NFL as we speak.
He's farted everybody, bro.
Bill, right.
He's not playing around. That guy wants the rules done right.
Exactly.
Respect you, Bill. That's
Bill's
cool.
Working in a satellite office for the NFL. It's Daz of the Moose on this Friday morning. We'll come on back. Your calls, 855-212-4227. Everything that transpired in the Thursday night game, Browns Steelers, the Miles Garrett fight. Want to hear from you, 855-212-4227. What's your take? Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, go ahead, Moose.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, you got the gimmick.
Okay. All right. Oh, thank you.
That's the new thing. I'm gonna, when we come back, I'll set you up. Like
time
this.
Now to ask the go pros. Ahead. Were you the listener? Get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
Also, during the break, Moose and I, for people, you people understand what happens. We show prep during the break.
Oh, constantly.
Right. So what happens is our great producer, Mikey B, he put out on the social media, his team, about Turkey Jones, thanks to that call, which is probably the greatest name ever in the history of football. I didn't know this was the guy's name.
Turkey Jones.
It's the greatest name ever. And
it is a great name.
He sacked in 1976. Turkey Jones played for the Browns, and he sacked Terry Bradshaw. Now, we saw it together, Moose. It was a pretty nasty sack. And Mike alluded to that it was a backflip of sorts, which was really, we watched it, it was more like a German suplex. He basically drove Bradshaw on top of his head. And then the ball was laying loose.
And someone comes by and just scoops up the ball.
As Bradshaw.
Uncaring about, as Bradshaw's like writhing in pain, grabbing his head. The ball's on the turf, and another Brown just comes by and scoops up the ball and runs into the end zone.
Bradshaw's just laying there with flags.
It's just
him.
A sign of the times. It really is. Yeah, really, you know, Bradshaw just got, like, as you mentioned, suplexed into, like, head first into the turf.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked like a cold day, too. It didn't look like there was much give to the ground.
No.
It was natural grass, not much give to it. And then just the video of another Brown coming in and the scoop and score.
Yeah, while Bradshaw's laying there just holding.
Ball! Ball! Ball!
So that leads to a social media update. The Kingsman. You know the Kingsman, Moose.
Oh, I love him.
At the Kingsman 36.
You know, he says, post.
Taz, that's it. Taz, please educate Mikey B. This is not a backflip, but more of a throw that I'm sure you could do, you could call appropriately, meaning me. Yes, hashtag Taz and Moose. And then Mikey B comes back with a social media reply. There you go. Mikey B goes, my bad. Always learning. Appreciate the note. Have a great day, my man. Babyface Jones.
Well, nice job.
Is Mikey B not the biggest, most disingenuous babyface ever?
It's a Friday, too.
What does that mean?
I think it was earlier in the week. It might have had a little bit more of an edge to it.
That's an interesting point. I can't answer that, but he might be right.
I think on a Friday, Mike is trying to get out.
I didn't think of it that way, Moose, but like Tuesday at 6:40 in the morning,
he'd have less patience for the Kingsman and his tweets and his shots at him on a Tuesday.
Like a Tuesday morning.
A Monday. On a Friday morning, the Kingsman could basically say whatever he wants to Mike and insult him, and Mike will basically take the high road.
Yeah.
Mike is looking for a clean break.
We Mike, over, bro.
Come, yeah, we over, right. Bro. Hashtag we over,
Mark,
bro.
Mark.
Hashtag LI post forever.
Pioneers roll on.
Yes.
not the Pioneers anymore. Look at Mike. Look at Pete's turn.
Oh, Pete
and
the Sharks.
The
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer himself.
The Hall of Famer.
I am a former Pioneer for a short while, and I will say they're always the Pioneers. So I'm saying green and gold.
When did
Jones.
They become the Sharks again?
Last year.
Oh, last?
Yeah.
Did they really?
It was last year, right?
In the summer, yeah. They made the transition because they combined programs with Brooklyn.
And
yeah.
Oh, so was it the Brooklyn Sharks?
No, they were Brooklyn were the Blackbirds.
Huh. So it was the Blackbirds and the Pioneers, and they came to an agreement on the
Long
Sharks?
Long Island Jones, bro. The water, Jones Beach, the Sharks, Montauk.
Why wouldn't they go like, you know...
Lighthouse?
No, not the...
Post-Lighthouse?
But how about you go the Hammerheads? Or the Makos?
Hammerheads would have... Well, Makos, I think, are more on the West Coast.
Oh, what about Great Whites?
Great White Jones. Yeah, that'd be good. I like Hammerheads.
Yeah, Hammerheads would be good, right? Pick a species of shark and go from there.
That's true. But it's all about Mikey B right now.
So they're
the
Long Island Post Sharks.
Yes. They actually changed their colors to the old San Diego Charger colors.
Oh, they're brown and yellow?
No, that's the
baby
Padres.
Blue and white?
Powder blue. Powder blue and gold.
Thank you. I'm sorry. God. Forgot the savant of team colors across the nation.
Well, because you can't just lazily spitball colors.
Right,
out
that's
there,
green, you know? 106.
Yeah. Pantone.
Right, green 106.
Carolina blue.
Right, exactly.
With a Pantone 122 athletic gold.
Taz's wheelhouse right there.
That really is.
The powder blue. I'm sorry, I said baby blue. Powder blue. Padres are going back to the brown and gold, though.
Ah, that's money right there.
They are going back this
stuff.
Year.
That's
they unveiled
good.
Those
I love it.
Last week. It's Taz of the Moose. We'll come back. Talk a little Kaepernick and week 11 of the NFL, the Sunday that will be. CBS Sports Radio.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.